If you take a moment and look in your bulletin, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes that you can follow along in this morning's message as we continue to think about when Jesus calls us. He calls us to be fishers of men. Just as he made a call upon the life of Peter and John and the disciples, so as we have engaged in this Christian journey, we are called to become fishers as well. And then on the back side, there is kind of a little assessment. How do you assess your own life and your own faith journey as you consider what kind of different fishermen there are and how people respond to the call of Jesus? On the other side is for this morning, as you can continue to fill out that as we go through this morning's message. But I want us to think this morning. Last week we talked about what it means to be fishers, what kind of people that we're called to reach out to. But this morning I want us to think about, what does it mean for us to be Christian fishermen, people that reach out, people that cast our nets for Christ? There is kind of a difference. And if you've ever been with fishermen, if you've ever been with people that like to go fishing, you'll know that sometimes fishermen have a certain habit. They have certain ways of doing things. And sometimes if a fisherman finds a really good fishing hole, perhaps there's a place in the river where it gets deep really quickly, and fish like to gather in the deep water. Or perhaps it's near a root or a tree, that they know that there are a lot of fish there, and they will go back to that favorite fishing hole again and again and again. The difference is that sometimes people like to keep their favorite fishing hole a secret, because it's where they get all of the big fish. The transformation that happens in our lives is that when we encounter Christ, when we experience the joy and the abundance that God has for us, it's something that we want to share with others. It's something that we want to invite others, so that when we have a favorite fishing hole or we have a favorite gift that we have been given, we want to share it with others. We invite people to participate in the fishing that we have. In this morning's message, as we look at the calling upon the life of Peter and John and the disciples, that wonderful story of casting our nets into deep water, we want to consider what happens to the disciples when they finally have received the abundance that is bigger than they could handle. How do they respond? How does it change their life and their whole focus about what their lives are about? Hopefully, in the process, we can understand that God has placed his hand on us, and we can begin to engage at that deeper level as Jesus speaks to us this morning. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God, as we repeat what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Reading from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 5, Jesus is calling the disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. Let us pray. Father God, we just pray this morning that we remember the calling on our lives, the day that we accepted to follow you, the day that we pulled our boats on shore and continue to learn of your message and of your grace. And we pray this morning, Father, that we remember again and continue to follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, as we read this morning this story of Jesus engaging Peter and John, if you understood the transition that is happening in Peter's own life. That when Jesus encounters Peter, you have this image of Peter being this kind of big, burly guy, you know, kind of a fisherman with hard hands that have been used to hauling in ropes of fishing line and of nets and of dealing with fish, somebody that is used to being outdoors, perhaps dealing with that Mideastern sun, and somebody that's used to being out on the water. That here you have this big guy, and Jesus comes and he says, set your nets out into deep water. And they've just come in from a night of fishing. And so Peter responds as you would and says, Master. And in that term, Master, he is referring to Jesus as a teacher, as somebody that has gotten into the boat, as perhaps a rabbi. It is a term of respect, somebody that has earned the right to be known as the master, a rabbi, a traveling teacher. He says, Master, we have been fishing all night, but I'm willing to give it a try because you say so. Maybe it was something that he heard. Maybe it was something that Jesus was talking about that said, this man seems to understand humanity a little bit better. And maybe he's going to use this as some object lesson. And so he refers to him as master, rabbi, teacher. Because you say so, I will do it. And so he goes and he sets out his nets. And he simply takes the nets that he has been given and he drops them into the water. And he catches more fish than he has ever seen before. So much so that one boat can't hold him. So he asks others to come in, and it's more than they can hold. So much so that the boats are beginning to be swamped. The abundance of what Jesus has brought into his life is more than he can comprehend, more than he can process. And if ever we think that what people are looking for is more fish in their lives, more things, more stuff, we find that Peter lays it all aside. And in that moment, he is not Peter anymore, but a frightened fisherman. Here is a man that is big and strong, used to being outdoors, and finally he comes and he rushes to Jesus' feet and he falls on his knees and he says, away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He is frightened of what he has just encountered. And he has changed his tone, too, if you notice that. He isn't talking about Jesus as master, as rabbi, as teacher, as good man. He's the Lord. And that term Lord in the Greek is a word for the Creator. Dear God, please be away from me, for I am a sinful man. In the sense of his abundance, he is frightened for what is standing right before him. And I wonder this morning, as we encounter the abundance that God has in store for us, the calling upon our lives, if we're ready to respond in the same way. As we think about the journey of our own church, that every time Jesus invites us to let down our nets, it's a call to respond. It's a call to step one farther into deep water and simply let down our nets. Jesus will provide the fish. We have to be willing to let down our nets. And so each time we encounter Christ, it is an encounter to respond, to go ever deeper. There's a story that Max Lucado told several years ago about a fishing trip that he took with his family. He said, every spring break, our family would like to go to a lake and they would like to go fishing. But one year it turned out that his brothers could go, and so he got to invite a friend. And so as he and his friends were looking forward to going fishing, they began to just get so excited about what they needed to take, about all of the fun that they were going to have. I often wonder, is that how kids felt this past week in our community, that we're getting ready to go to Camp Echo? You know, kids that were so excited because they knew this date was coming and they knew that they were going to be together and they were going to have a great time. And so they began to plan for this wonderful fishing trip. What would it be like to be out on the boat together, to spend the day in the sun and fish, to feel the tug on the line as you got a fish? And he said that they finally arrived, they set up camp, but almost as soon as they set up camp, a nor'easter came in and things got bitter cold. And it got so windy that the lake began to have white caps on it. And they knew that they weren't going to be able to go out on the lake with it being like that. And they also knew that the next day that they got up, it began to sleet. And nobody wanted to go fishing while it was sleeting. And so they began to be kind of claustrophobic. They began to get cabin fever. They were spending too much time together and not enough time out on the lake that they began to get on each other's nerves. They said, by the third day, Father had had enough. And he looked at the boys and he said, we're going home. They said, nobody had an objection. So they packed up all their stuff and for the next 3 hours home, they sat in silence and didn't say a word to one another. He said, on that trip, he said, I learned more about human nature and about how we are called to fish. He said, we're all called to fish. Jesus invites all of us as disciples that I will make you fishers of men. But when we, people who are called to fish, don't, we begin to fight. We begin to take all of that energy that was supposed to be set outward, that was supposed to be spent on fishing, and we turn it inward. Instead of casting our nets, we begin casting stones. Instead of extending a helping hand, we begin pointing fingers at one another. Instead of being focused on the lost, we begin focusing and become critics of the saved. And instead of helping the hurting, we often hurt those that are trying to help. When you encounter a situation where people are becoming critical, when they're trying to say, what is it that we're supposed to be doing, or what are the things that aren't being done that ought to be done? It's because all of that energy is being turned inside. If somebody were to come in this morning and challenge you and say, you know what, you're sitting in my pew, because the energy has been focused inwardly and we've forgotten that we are called to go to the deep water. We're called to set down our nets for others. Jesus has this abundance of fish that he's willing to give to us if we're just willing to move our boats from the shore into the deep water. And so when we think about the future of our journey, of our community, and of our church, are we willing to do the fishing that we are called to do? Because we also learn from this lesson that those that are willing to fish, when they go out and fish, Jesus says they flourish. And not in just numbers and quantity. It doesn't become that when you become a Christian, you can rest assured that your bank account will be full and that you will always have good health and happiness. It's that you will have a sense of purpose and a sense of mission that will center your lives. You will flourish in the abundance that God has for you, a sense of peace and a sense of direction. And in a world that is struggling to make sense of what the future has, Christ says, I will be with you. I will be the one that will be guiding you to new, deeper waters where you will catch more than you can possibly imagine. The thing that I found most interesting about our story and the transition that happened in Peter's life and the transition that can happen in your life as well if you will let God do it is that when those who are called to fish flourish, they worship. What does Peter do when he finally has everything that he's been looking for? When he finally has more fish, and remember, he's a fisherman. That's his job. But when he has more fish than he can possibly imagine, he worships. What happens to Isaiah in chapter 6? Isaiah has an encounter with the holiness of God. He falls on his knees and he says, woe am I, a man of unclean lips. I wonder, as we think deep in our own heart, when was the last time you really were able to fall on your knees before the holiness of God, the creator of the universe, and say, who am I that you would call me to a sanctuary like this? Who am I that you would call me to a mission to the world? And who am I that you would be willing to give me the gifts in order to share, that others would know the good news? Because those that have found and have gone out and have found the abundance that God has, they respond in worship. When we gather here on Sunday morning, it isn't just so that we can feel good about ourselves. It's because we have experienced the abundance of God in our lives, and we are drawn to praise. People need to have a release for the positive things that God is already doing. Focus that we're not just here by random circumstance, that we're not here just because things just naturally happen, but God is moving in our lives, and we know that God has something more that He wants to do. But if you find that you're kind of in a stuck place, maybe you feel that for the last couple of weeks or months, maybe your boat has just been stuck too long on shore. And you're saying, how can I really become that world-class disciple? How can I become the person that God wants me to be? How do I go and learn to do in the deep water? The first thing that I think we have to learn from this passage is it begins with a sense of worship. We have to understand what God has done in our lives. We have to recognize that the people that we live with, the people that love us, the abundance of this community, of the peace that we have to share, is a gift to us. It is an abundance that is filling our nets. Imagine if you had been there and you had found that both boats were filled with fish. Which camp would you be in? Would you be following Peter and falling down at Jesus' feet and saying, who am I to deserve such as this? Or would you stay with the boats and each fish has a dollar value and you're looking at the dollars rolling through? And so you see Jesus as a way of making a fortune. When we begin to worship, truly worship, it is a humbling experience. It is laying our gifts before God and say, make with them what you will. I'm only called to drop down my nets. Lord, you bring the fish. And when we have that abundance, we just naturally want to worship. It's a sense of calling, knowing that God has saved you for a mission. He has saved you to serve others. He has gifted you and transformed your life in order for you to make a difference in the lives of others. And it's finally, it's about fishing. It's about the fish, really. It's about others that aren't here today. It's not just about us. It's about the people that aren't here, the people that are struggling to make ends meet, the people that are struggling to say, what is life really all about? What is this Christian story I keep hearing so much about? It's about sharing the good news, having some compassion for the fish that we want to draw to Christ. So finally, I want to ask just the simple question. What will you choose? How will you choose to respond when Christ calls you? Will you be willing to set out from shore, even out to the dangerous deep waters? Are you willing to risk getting involved in a ministry? Are you willing to risk putting yourself on the line and joining a Sunday school class or making a difference? Are you willing to risk inviting somebody else to join you in your boat to experience what God has done for you? This morning, we're going to come and we're going to share in the sacrament. It is again, once again, that calling on your life to go out into the deep water, to let down your nets, to recognize that the fish are waiting for you just to let them down. They're waiting to come and be a part of your boat. But for some reason, we get afraid. We're afraid of what people might say, or we're afraid that we might not be the best fishermen on the shore. We're afraid that other people will point and make fun, or we're afraid that our boats might even get damaged if we go out to deep water. But most of all, we're afraid. But what does Jesus say to our fear? He says the same thing to Peter. Peter, don't be afraid, because I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And when we look at the cross and we look at the sacrament of communion, we are no longer afraid, because we have something to share. We have what we call good news. If it's good news, then shouldn't we proclaim it? Let us pray. Holy Father, this morning as we encounter your holiness through the sacrament of bread and wine, we pray, Father, that you restore us to the calling that you've made on our lives. Empower us, Father. Give us courage and make us bold while there's still time. In Jesus' name. Amen.